Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports. So we're gonna rock down to Electric
Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Welcome to Part My Take, March 7th edition. We have a great show for everyone out there. Before we get to the show, we're going to give you a little preview of how the show is going to work now that we're officially into Pardon My Take and how we're going to run it every single day or every other day. So for the segments, which we will start every show with, we're going to have some sound effects. 2 minutes into the topic. There it is. We're going to get the boy-yoing sound. That means that it's time to wrap it up. And when we reach 3 minutes into a topic,
that's a hard stop.
That's a hard, hard stop. So that means we are going to stop, even if it's mid-sentence, even if it's mid-unbelievable joke, and we're going to move on to the next topic.
Because we would rather give you guys not enough content than too much content. We're nagging you guys by doing this, basically.
Always leave them wanting more is what our motto is at Pardon My Take. It also is just because we don't feel like talking that much. So
yeah. It's a good excuse to move on.
All right, so let's get into the show. We're going to have PFT start with the first topic.
Yeah, so big news today. Peyton Manning announcing his retirement out in Denver. As reported by Chris Mortensen, getting the scoop, even though he's literally in a hospital bed right now. So you got to respect Mortensen's hustle to have Peyton reach out to him and give him that little taste of a nugget.
Working on that scoop for maybe 15 years, by the way.
This is the long game by Chris, and you know it worked masterfully for him. So congratulations to Chris. But my take on Peyton's retirement is basically it's like Aubrey McClendon. He's the CEO of Chesapeake Energy that killed himself last week when he was under investigation. So I got to applaud Peyton Manning for perfect timing. But on the other hand, it's a bit of a cowardly move to basically drive his career into an underpass and eject himself through the window shield just so that the NFL will stop its investigation into his HGH use. A real champion would come back to defend his Super Bowl title. And right now all he's proving is that he is exactly as good as his brother was and that his career is exactly as good as Eli's. So it's a bit of a cowardly move. But on the other hand, if you're a Peyton Manning shareholder, you got to appreciate the timing.
I appreciate that Peyton Manning isn't stooping to the level where he would have to take HGH or steroids to keep his career going. Obviously, he calls this a retirement, but when we're really talking about it, he's more. I mean, it's like a it's not you, it's me situation. The Broncos don't want him back. So Peyton Manning saying, you know what? I'm not going to take HGH. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to stoop to this level to keep my career going. I think it's admirable. And you know what? Yeah. Can you name one controversy Peyton Manning has ever had? I mean, oh, he said Budweiser and Papa John's after winning the Super Bowl. Oh, my God, what a creep. What a bad guy. I can't think of one thing that he's done wrong in his entire career. So hats off to him for that.
Right, but wouldn't you agree that if you're a great quarterback, you come back and you defend the title?
John Elway didn't.
Yeah, but so he's not a great quarterback. In my opinion, John Elway also took the cowardly way out. Peyton Manning should come back and he should defend. I would even consider it a title defense if he came back and played for the Rams and he would still be defending his Super Bowl title out in LA. But I guess Peyton Manning doesn't want the bright lights of Hollywood. He's never been one to put himself in front of a camera. True. So he's kind of being a chicken shit and bowing out when he should be coming back to defend that thing.
If Papa John isn't at his retirement press conference, I'm going to be very disappointed.
I hope that Papa John gives a eulogy at Peyton Manning's funeral. And offers a new Papa John special.
Like, and they use in and honor they use, of Peyton Manning. They use the Budweiser. They use the Budweiser facility for his funeral.
That'd be wonderful in St. Louis. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
We actually did that before the reggaeton. That is a shock.
Yeah. Good job. There it is.
That's not going to get annoying at all, guys. Swear it won't. All right. Moving on, UFC fight Saturday night was a huge fight night. We had Holly Holm lose to Miesha Tate. We had Conor McGregor lose to Nate Diaz. It was a great card. I hope everyone out there got the pay-per-view. My question to you, PFT, to start this off, Holly Holm came out to a little Irish jig, and Conor McGregor, as we all know, is Irish. Do Irish people fight too much?
Here's the thing about the Irish. The reason that they've gotten so good at fighting is because they don't have any guns in their country. In the United States, we have a hard time developing truly world-class fighters anymore because we have the Second Amendment. So we don't have to learn how to fight with our hands as much. We, you know, we can go out there and we can, you know, we don't have to learn how to skip rope. We don't have to learn how to punch a heavy bag. The Irish, all they have, like they get stabbed, you know, by the most Irish people get stabbed by the time that they're like 17 or 18, which means
that's a fair assessment,
which means that they naturally have a better instinct in terms of fighting. They have to learn how to fight or they die in the streets of Limerick. That's pretty much how it goes.
Not good at winning wars, but great at fist fighting. Well, actually, yes. Not great at fist fighting, as we learned this weekend. I also like that Conor McGregor said that he is both humble in defeat and victory. That's one of those situations where if you say it and believe it, I guess we'll just take your word for it. I've seen him do some things after his victories, but if he says that it was just humble and he was just showing how humble he was, then I'm gonna say, yes, Conor, you were humble in victory.
Yeah, he was humble in victory. I think that the Irish naturally are humble in victory, though, because they have so much – or they're so humble in victory and defeat because they have a lot of experience in losing wars. And so if you were to get like a French UFC contender, that would just like be the most humble ring fighting experience. If that person lost a fight, they would like bathe their opponent's feet in the ring, because the French, you know, if there's two things that they do well, you know, they make good wine and they lose.
I would love to see a French fighter with his little striped shirt and a cigarette and a beret. I will also say Vince McMahon, Dana White obviously had a tough night because he lost Holly Holm. He lost Conor McGregor. Say what you want for Vince McMahon, but he never loses his two top billing guys in a big fight night. So that's a point for WWE. And I'll also say Cam Newton should learn something from Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, after the fight, went to Instagram, called Dos Anjos a pussy, called Aldo a pussy. Cam Newton, learn something. Learn how to be humble in defeat and victory like Conor, because he said so.
Yeah, focus more on jabbing and less on dabbing, as I said. Now, the other thing I want to touch on the UFC fight is both fighters got choked out, right? So if you've heard of autoerotic asphyxiation, I take it.
Yes.
Like if I'm getting choked out in the ring, the first thing I'm doing, like, I'm, you know, fuck it, I'm going to get choked out. I'm going to go straight for my crotch and just see what this is all about.
And that's the reggae tone. Just under the reggae tone. And what's the, we got the last topic here.
Right. So if anybody out there is a big NBA fan, that you saw the Warriors fall to the mighty Lakers over the weekend. And I am kind of seeing this as a canary in a coal mine of maybe the 3-point shot has jumped the shark. There's a great column that came out in some Chicago newspaper over the weekend that said that the 3-point line was designed for people that can't play regular basketball. And I agree with that, but I also see that, like, it's also the coward's way out to play. It's like if you're a really ugly dude and you out there and you talk to a million supermodels and you just ask them all out and then you finally find one that says yes, that doesn't mean you're Casanova. That means that you got lucky. And, you know, it was a high risk, high reward proposition, but it doesn't make you a great sensual person, you know, like you just kind of lucked into one good situation. That's kind of what the 3-point shot is.
Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were combined 1-for-18 from 3-point range on Sunday. That maybe it's time they start regressing to the mean. So maybe they just start for the next, you know, 4 weeks, start shooting threes at a 10% clip. I'll also say this. The Lakers, if you look at the Lakers, they're 2-2 now in their last four. Can the Lakers get hot? I mean, the Lakers might be able to get hot. If you read Magic Johnson's tweets after the game, he was talking about how their defense is coming together. Kobe Bryant is teaching the young kids. They might run out of time. They're 13-51, so it might be too late to make the playoffs. But dark horse, I'm circling them as my dark horse if they do get into the dance.
So they could lay down some good groundwork for next year and kind of get hot and have something to build upon. I'm just going to assume that Steve Blake is still on the Lakers. I don't know if he is or not, but like he is a lifetime Laker for me. Like I can't wait to see his jersey raised into those rafters. So if Steve Blake can get these guys back on the same page, and even if he's not on the team, maybe he can, you know, be brought in as an assistant coach or like a consultant. I think that the Lakers could make some noise out in the West. One idea that I had, though, because I am so against the concept of the 3-point shot because it reduces the fundamentals of the mid-range J, I'm thinking the NBA could do a whole lot worse than raising the rim maybe to 12 feet and bringing back goaltending, allowing all forms of goaltending. I mean, that would make for It would bring back the importance of having a good center and a good big man on your team.
It would actually give some value to guys like Joakim Noah, Hassan Whiteside, other than all these advanced statistical, you know, people who say, yeah, you got to protect the rim. Well, let's really let them protect the rim. Let's have them actually protect the rim from Steph Curry throwing in these prop shots from 35 feet away.
Just circus garbage. Like, he's shooting from 28 to 50 feet and he's making, you know, almost 50% of these shots. Like, that's not how you play basketball. Okay. That's how you throw a Nerf ball down your hall at your little door frame hoop that you got.
That's today's segments, or sorry, that's today's topics. We will now move on to the segments.
I like how we have very catchy separation between those two things. No, that was a segment, and now next up is a topic.
Those were the topics. Actually, those were the topics. Now we're doing an interview, then we're going to do some segments.
Who do we got on the horn today?
Chris Long, formerly from the St. Louis Rams, now an NFL free agent. He will be now coming on the show for a quick, let's say, 10 minutes. We are probably going to have to get a little bit better as interviewers, as you will see and listen. We had the idea that after 4 minutes, we will have Hank play the Oscars, play it off music to tell us that it's been 4 minutes and we should kick our guest off. Unfortunately, we're not so great at interviewing, so we not only didn't tell Chris that we were going to play the music, but the music started to play before we even asked him a real question. So here is Chris Long from the St. Louis Rams, or sorry, from the NFL, formerly from the St. Louis Rams.
Shouldn't you say, here's Chris Long, formerly from the LA Rams, formerly of the St. Louis Rams.
Now owned by all of the NFL.
Yeah.
We technically all own a piece of Chris Long at this moment. All right, our first guest, our first ever guest on Pardon My Take is NFL free agent, former St. Louis Ram, Chris Long, who is actually nice enough to join us. He just had a kid. He's now a father. So, Chris, congrats on the sex. That's pretty cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I was going to say it's a great way to prove that you having a kid is like a good way to prove that you had sex without being a low character guy.
Is it a boy or a girl? Have you guys touched on that so far?
It is a male.
It's a male. Okay. Do you have you gotten a sense for like his measurables, like his hand size, how athletic he is so far, like just an overall sense of what his motor's like?
Yeah, his motor's pretty solid. He's been doing a lot of. He seems to have an affinity to take dumps.
All right. And
yeah, he's hungry a lot. He's motivated. He's motivated to get his meals in. He's motivated to take dumps, and he's just a pretty average sized guy.
He sounds a lot like me.
I was gonna say that. you covered. He eats and he shits. So you birthed Big Cat.
That kid sounds awesome. To be quite honest with you,
sounds like I just got myself a new best friend.
Yeah, the kid's amazing. I can't wait for you guys to meet him. So his name is Waylon James Long. And he was like 7 pounds, 5 ounces. So he's pretty down the middle as far as measurables are concerned. He's going to have to, his work ethic is going to really be what carries him through.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor, but like, is there a way to tell, like what position the parents were in when the kid was conceived? And the only reason I'm asking is because like so maybe the Gronkowskis, maybe they've got this stable of just super athletes being poured out of there because like maybe Gordy and the mom were like sprinting in some weird position, like while the conception occurred. For my parents and Big Cat's parents, I'm sure like it was basically like an accident grinding at prom night when we were conceived, like the most unathletic. Missionary. Yeah.
Like pizza rolls.
I mean, it's a fair point. I would say that all of the Barstool staff, their parents probably had sex in missionary through a sheet, knowing our athletic ability. So,
what music do you think they were listening to?
God. Drowning Pool.
That's my intro for UFC. Let the body hit the floor.
It's pretty solid. I like it. Actually, I would say, I would say like rap metal before rap metal was cool. Like some early avant-garde rap metal is probably what my parents were jamming out to. But like, I mean,
I could see your parents being like, what do they call them?
Juggalos.
People? Juggalos.
Juggalos. Yeah, me and Dan are going to join the Juggalos maybe this summer. We'll see.
We should do an undercover Juggalo thing.
But
it's on the list. We have a list of things that we're going to attempt to do.
Like Sicario, but for juggalos.
That's a great idea. I love it. Who's going to be in that plot, though? One of us would have to be like a riot, like an actual juggalo.
We playing them off.
I want to be Benicio del Toro, like the really badass quiet juggalo.
That was, by the way, this is a bad interview. I'll be very, very upfront with everyone. Pardon my take. This is our first interview ever. We told Hank to play the Oscars send him off music at 4 minutes. We hit 4 minutes before we even started asking actual questions. It's all sex jokes and juggalo jokes about. So, all right, let's move on. NFL draft coming up. We want to know your favorite memory from the night you got drafted by the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it was tremendous. In all seriousness, I would say that night was just what you imagine, except not as cool. We went to a club in New York, and it was like not even like that cool a club. Like we were the only table in there with bottle service, and it was pretty empty. So I felt like we spent a bunch of money for no reason, and we looked like idiots. So that's kind of how it goes. And then in the morning, they fly you very, very tired and still a little bit intoxicated to the city you're going to play in, which for me was St. Louis, actually. You have me confused with Jake. And we did a press conference there. And that was that. And the rest is history. 8 years later, they let me loose. So it happens fast. And when I watched the combine, it just kind of brings back memories when I was getting compared to a bunch of white defensive ends. And now I'm like everybody's comparison. So it's kind of cool. I can sit there and watch all the little guys that are going to turn out to be just like me.
Yeah, Joey Bosa, I think, is like he's a working man's Chris Long, is what I've been saying about him.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be. I think he's a little bit more gifted than me, but you got to stick to the rules.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I can't go out here making comparisons to like to Albert Haynesworth or anything like that. I gotta go with what I know. So when your brother Jake was drafted by the Dolphins, did you ever think that you two would get to play together?
I did not, but it was great. Like, it was one less trip for my parents to make when he came out to St. Louis, and we'd kind of do big Thanksgiving dinners like multiple times a year. Cause that's my dad loves Thanksgiving. And so we do a couple Thanksgivings a year, and then we'd play like backyard football like every week.
That sounds great.
It was awesome. That's and then really Kyle cool. would fly in, and Chuck Long, my other uncle, would come in. So it was awesome.
So you kind of touched on this earlier, but you're facing down free agency for the first time. A lot of people were speculating that maybe your high salary cap number contributed to the release from St. Louis. But if you really love the game, wouldn't you play for free?
Yeah, if you do. But you have to love the game, and you have to, like, win games to play for free. So maybe on the next go-round, I don't know. But we haven't even – this little bundle of joy has kind of put off the whole process for me. So it's kind of starting this week. I have a couple visits and we'll see. I mean, I might walk in and they'd be like, "Hey, we watched your film and we'd like you to play for free." So we'll see.
It sounded like to me you would be willing to play for free at some point in life.
Yes. I mean, it'd be an interesting experiment to see if I really love football. I mean, ever since
maybe a $1 contract would work,
right? For tax purposes, you need the $1. I've
been doing football drills, and I've been in the gym ever since I got cut. So, I mean, this is the first break.
Wait. Hold on. Did you say you've been in the gym ever since you got cut? I haven't seen any Instagram videos or pictures of you doing that. So,
well, they don't have Wi-Fi in there.
Okay. Well, because if you're not hunting greatness, then I don't know. If you don't tell me that you're hunting greatness,
I'm going to stay away.
And so, Chris, I don't know if you saw this, but I'm trying to like go out there and be your PR guy and be like your biggest advocate. And my biggest suggestion was you need to put a video of you doing a box jump online, because if you have a box jump that's internet gold And like the people lose their shit over it. You can jump like 48 inches in the air and your phone will be ringing off the hook the next day. Like you need something like that to really start the pot getting stirred.
I agree. You know, it's worked out for Kyle, my brother. He did a box jump video like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Yeah. Boom, three straight Pro Bowls. I've seen JJ Watt do box jump videos. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You know, mm-hmm. I've done a lot of box jumps, but I just never filmed them. So
gotta start filming.
I'm totally willing to rethink my whole strategy. I mean, it's late in the game for it, but I could always make the change.
It's kind of like the sex thing. You've done a lot of sex, but we didn't know you did sex until you produced a child. So maybe start filming these box jumps and putting them up on Instagram. Just a tip from two guys that know a little something about the NFL PR spin cycle.
And talent evaluation. I'm going to do my first visit this week. I'm going to walk right by whoever the head coach is. Just go straight into the weight room and just start doing box jumps, not say a word to anybody.
Perfect. Perfect. Don't even make eye contact. Don't know you're all business.
If I were the GM, I would sign you in a second. Where is your first visit going to be?
I don't know if I can divulge here, but you know what?
Okay, all right, wait. Let me ask you a different way.
We're just three guys talking here.
Yeah, we can cut this. Let me ask a different way. Where's your second visit going to be?
Second visit. I can't divulge that either.
All right, we're going to let you go because you're a new father. But before we do, we're going to finish with our favorite segment that we're going to now use for every guest. It is called Questions You Don't Have to Answer, but we're going to ask anyway.
Okay, I'll just be quiet the whole time probably.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have answer these. We're going to ask them. PFT, I think you were going to go first.
Yeah. So, Chris, what team do you absolutely not want to play for next year? And if you don't answer, I'm just going to assume that it's the Browns.
Well, the team that just kicked me out onto the street, you know, was the St. Louis Rams, now the Los Angeles Rams. I'd probably rather not play there.
Breaking news, Chris Long confirms he will not sign with the LA Rams.
You heard it here. The
odds just went down there. I mean, we have 31 teams now that you'd play for.
Yep.
Okay.
I just
narrowing that down.
I'd play for the Rough Riders either.
Okay, we're eliminating some CFL teams.
Well, we just added a bunch of teams because we added the entire CFL because you implied you'd go play for the CFL.
We'll cut that out. We'll cut that out in post.
We'll cut that part out. All right, my question that I'm going to ask that you don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. How many times in your career with the St. Louis Rams did you see Jeff Fisher poop his pants? Chris, did we lose you? And that was Chris Long. Thank you again to Chris Long. I think his mic cut out there at the end when we started to get into some Jeff Fisher talk. It actually didn't. We did some selective editing. So Chris is a huge we're a huge fan of Chris Long. I think everyone can appreciate how funny he is and how down to earth he is. And we will hopefully have Chris back for some more shows this year, hoping that we get his brother Kyle and his brother Jake on as well.
Get the triplets in there. Yeah, and I'd like to personally apologize to everybody for not knowing that the interview was going on for the first minute of it. You know, technology, I had some issues. And
we actually did cut that out, though.
Oh, we did? Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so I'd like to apologize to PFT for apologizing, even though no one knew what he was apologizing for.
Yeah, boy, I look like an asshole right now. It's like when you confess to getting caught cheating on your girlfriend, but she had no idea and she was like out of the country or something.
That's exactly what just happened.
Damn it. Yeah, my bad.
All right. So let's go into the segments portion of the show. We have two today.
Is this a topic or a segment or a section? Segment.
Very, very distinct difference. The topic is something that's topical. The segment is something that's topical that we use a funny name for.
Okay.
Do you see the difference?
No, but I'll run with it.
Okay, so segments. Today we're going to do power rankings, and because Donald Trump's penis size is in the news, we're going to power rank presidential penises. I think, PFT, you're going to do the top three. I'm going to do the bottom three, so let's start with you.
Okay, number one, I got James Madison. James Madison, and I imagine we might have some overlap in between the top and the bottom three, okay? James Madison was our shortest president. He was like 5'3".
5'4", yes.
5'4", but they also said he had a silver tongue. which meant that he I don't think it meant he was a good speaker. You know, I think it meant he knew what he was doing downstairs. And so I think that he was a great lover. And that if you're going to be a 5 foot three person and you're going to become president of the United States, you got to be packing. You're not going to be just some guy hanging a Tic Tac downstairs. Number one, James Franklin. Or number one, James Madison.
My number three, I'm going to go reverse order. So these are the three worst presidential penises. I'll go back. We'll go back and forth. Mine is James Madison. And okay. I'm actually going to use some of the things you just said. So he is 5'4", shortest president. 5'4", I'm pretty sure you can get a handicap license plate if you're a male that's 5'4". Because your legs are too small and you can't walk to the front of the store. So James Madison already has that going for him. The silver tongue thing, you know, you said that he's a good lover, which I would agree. The silver tongue would imply that he's a good lover. But everyone knows if you're, you know, using your tongue a lot, it's probably because your dick sucks. So James Madison, silver tongue, that's going against him. Third worst presidential penis in my mind.
Okay, so me and you both had the exact same person with the exact same reasons. But I think he's got a great dick, and you think that his dick is subpar.
That's the beauty of part my take. You can spin anything anyway.
Embrace the bait, baby. All right, number two, FDR. FDR, very little wear and tear on that thing. He kept it in-house, meaning he married his cousin. So there was very little chance for any sort of disease or malady to make its way into there. Also, the fact that he was in a wheelchair meant that he kept his penis in a very neutral position for most of his life. Just a steady amount of blood flow. Wasn't walking around like a show-off the whole time trying to like make that thing drag on the ground. He's got no saggage. Like you see a lot of these older guys in the gym walking around basically tripping on their own nuts sometimes because they've had a lifetime of blood flow hanging down there. Just FDR, I think, just has a nice overall good homeostasis environment for his dick. So he's number two.
I would also imagine FDR probably didn't get dick flicked a lot in like middle school. And I'll be totally honest. I'm not a doctor, but I would say I've lost at least a few inches from friends dick flicking me back when we were like 13 years old.
Yeah, no, and that's a good thing to say. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. I was just really popular and had a lot of friends that used to hit me. So that's
right.
Maybe
we used to play a game stopped. And that's yeah. Why my penis sucks now. Grover Cleveland is my number two worst penis. Grover Cleveland, he was actually the 22nd and 24th president. People forget that. So he mm-hmm. won the presidency, lost it, and then he went back for more, kind of like a sucker going back to a girl that's dumped him. Mm-hmm. I also have this quote about Grover Cleveland. He possessed honesty, courage, firmness, independence, and common sense, but he possessed them to a degree other men do not. That's just a nice guy. And nice guys don't have nice dicks. So you basically were like, you thought of every adjective you could think of for Grover Cleveland, except saying he had a huge hammer.
Grover Cleveland was in America's friend zone, and he was in his
Really good guy.
Right. So we'll go back to him twice, but we're going to be bored with him because he's not going to take us on a vacation to Las Vegas and, you know, bend us over a craps table. He's going to be the safe, steady guy that we can go back to.
And he's that. Right. Exactly. He's every girl like, oh, yeah, I like him. I like him. He's really nice. That's Grover Cleveland. That's not a guy swinging a big one.
OK, number three. I've got Ben Franklin as my number three president penis because basically he was such like a plump, round, weird looking guy, kind of like William Howard Taft, except, you know, not so comically overweight that he gets stuck in a bathtub. He was just like he was a chubby, short, weird guy, but the ladies loved him. He had girls over in France. He had girls probably in Canada. He was probably having sex with George Washington's wife. That's a rumor unconfirmed, but I choose to believe that it's true. And for such a weird looking guy to be doing this well with ladies, he had to have a hog that was making some noise. That's all I'm saying.
What about Alexander Hamilton's presidential penis?
Wasn't Alexander Hamilton? What about him?
Any thoughts on his presidential penis before I get to mine?
I guess he probably had a decent sized unit on him because he was he's on the $10 bill, right?
Correct.
You don't just get put on money if you don't have a big dick. Like that would be a national embarrassment. That would almost be like a recruiting scandal if it came out, you know, 100 years later that the guy that's on, you know, your currency basically had a large clitoris.
Yep. So Benjamin Franklin, Alexander Hamilton, both great presidential penises. Yes. My worst presidential penis is actually, you just mentioned him, William Howard Taft. got stuck in a bathtub because he was comically overweight. People forget that. Actually, mm-hmm. I don't think people do forget that.
That's the one thing I know about William Howard Taft.
That's the one thing I know about basically all the presidents combined. If you said, well, like, name something about a president, I'd say, oh, yeah, one of those fat guys got stuck in a tub once.
Every time on Jeopardy when the final category is U.S. presidents, I've got my fingers crossed for a bathtub question.
Right. So the William Howard Taft gets stuck in a bathtub. I don't think any guy who gets stuck in a bathtub probably is well endowed down there. He seems like one of those really, really fat guys who probably has just the like a minuscule tic-tac going on. So William Howard Taft, that had to be pretty embarrassing, too, to get rescued from the bathtub when you aren't well endowed.
Counterpoint. What if, do you know anything about like the water displacement theory? I've been doing a lot of studying on physics. I think it's physics. But what if William Howard Taft got into the bathtub flaccid and then like maybe his wife walked in there naked and he got a chubby and his chubby was so big that he pushed all the water out and now he was stuck in the bathtub. Maybe that's why he was in there and unable to be pried out because he had expanded in size since he got in. You know what I'm saying?
If William Howard Taft got erect from the sight of his wife, who I'm sure, I mean, we all, if you look back at pictures, everyone was unattractive back then. If you look back at a picture 20 years ago, everyone was unattractive. So mm-hmm. William Howard Taft, if he's popping a boner from just the sight of his wife, I think that that's probably another point on my side.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like if you have heart surgery, they put a stent into your artery and then they inflate it after it's in there. And now it's stuck in your artery. Like maybe Howard got into the bathtub and then he got a boner and inflated himself so much. Who knows? Maybe it was from his wife. Maybe it was from a passing thought. Maybe an intern walked in. Who knows the exact mechanics of it. But what I'm saying is there's a chance that you might be wrong and that his hog was so ginormous that he broke a bathtub with it.
It is actually sad to think that until George W. Bush, there was no presidents were able to watch porn or, you know, look at porn on the internet. They were just using their thoughts at that point.
Right. Internet porn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Bill Clinton was an early adopter, though. I'm sure
he probably had the VHSs. And then John F. Kennedy had like his thought porn, which was probably better than any internet porn.
His bank makes the Federal Reserve look like your mom and pop countrywide, you know. Yeah. Quick follow up on the William Howard Taft, though. In this day and age, if let's say Obama got stuck in a bathtub, let's say he had a rough last 6 months.
Yeah, by the way, a lot of weight. Pretty racist of you to not have Obama as your number one presidential dick.
Well, he's half white.
True.
And so that drags him way down. But if Obama got stuck in the bathtub and they had to call in the fire department to extract him, what are the odds that a cell phone picture or like a video doesn't make it out to the internet in that process?
0%.
I think somebody's got to like leak that, right?
Yeah.
So William Howard Taft was actually lucky that he lived when he lived. I mean, yeah, you know, you had kids dying of polio and stuff, but nobody ever took a picture of him stuck in a bathtub. So
then again, and now we're getting down the rabbit hole of presidential penises. I didn't think we'd be here on a Monday morning, but when you do have a story like that, getting stuck in the bathtub, that's the only story that you have. You have no chance to recapture it. You can't go do a box jump on an Instagram. You can't jump out of a pool. You can't go, you know, deadlift 1,000 pounds to show everyone that you're all man. The bathtub story is really his only legacy forever.
Yeah, I don't think I could spin my way out of that one.
All right, let's go to the last topic of the day or segment. Last segment of the day.
Last segment of the day. Confused. This is people forget. Oh, no, this is not people forget that. This is sorry, not sorry. Okay? And the sorry, not sorry of this week is Kirk Cousins, who tweeted out just some barrel fire movie takes that you will not believe. Here's Kirk Cousins on what it means to create a great movie. In my opinion, the best movies do three things. Number one, tickle your funny bone. Number two, tug on your heartstrings. Number three, blow your mind. Agreed? Now that is a fucking take right there.
I agree too. I never even like thought about, you know, when you watch a movie and you're like, wow, I really like that movie, but I can't explain why. Well, now we have a reason why. It's you get tickled, tugged, and blown.
Yeah, it's great. And Kirk, I mean, this might be an unpopular opinion for Kirk to stick out there. He's shied away from controversy in the past, but now we're getting a little peek behind the curtain. Now he's got a little bit of money. He's a little bit more confident. He can put his controversial opinions like this online. If I were to add some things to what Kirk said, though, I would say the best movies, they confuse me. Like one of my favorite movies is Memento. Have you seen Memento? It's like,
yeah,
you have to watch it a million times, which is great marketing. You have to buy the movie pretty much if you ever want to understand what it means, because the first time you watch it, you're probably buzzed and nothing really makes sense. So you got to watch it again and again and again. Number two, I would say that great movies solve complex societal issues, like Crash solved racism. That's a great movie.
Rocky IV solved the Cold War.
So, exactly. Yeah. And number three, I would say a great movie probably has at least a cameo, if not co-starring Shannon Tweed.
I am not familiar with Shannon Tweed.
Did you not have HBO as a child, or what's your problem?
I have trouble with celebrity names and matching them because I'm not a big movie guy. So I'm just going to take your – who's Shannon Tweed?
She's a softcore porn actress.
I was a Nikki Fritz guy. So that's where okay. This is like a Red Sox Yankees thing situation here.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, people forget that Stacey Dash was in a softcore porn one time.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I did forget that.
Illegal.
So
we
found out, though, that, yeah, you're an HBO guy. I was a Cinemax guy going up. I love Nikki Fritz. She was the best. The best of the best.
Yeah. So what's your take on Kirk Cousins' movie opinions?
It's kind of like when J.J. Watt went out on a limb and told everyone that he loves all breakfast food, and that if you don't like breakfast food, you can't be friends with him. I wouldn't be shocked if Dan Snyder calls Kirk Cousins in the office and has a little talking to him, because this is the type of stuff in a world where in 2016, the hot takes fly. People say controversial things they wish they could take back. You can't delete a tweet like this. It's out there. Kirk Cousins, he's out there. He's telling us, you know, what makes a movie great, and people are going to probably not like it. Because it's a little risque, if you ask me.
You got to remember, you're the face of a franchise here, okay? You just signed a big money deal, and you can't be out there injecting controversy into your team. It's bad for business.
Really bad for business. And telling us what we like in movies? I mean, come on, Kirk. You guys can't see our faces, but we did like a Kirk Cousins' face. So that was probably not the finest moment in the podcast.
Yeah, I'm over here making the jerk off motion, and that doesn't really translate to audio. Like, maybe if I can get some good airflow going with my hand to the mic, that's the sound of me making the jerk off motion.
This is part of being on the ground floor of a podcast. Being on the ground floor of a podcast is you have two hosts that are making faces to each other with no noise, thinking that the listener at home will understand what we're doing. So we'll get better at that. That's the show for today. I'm going to end the show. Here's how we're going to end every show. I'm going to give PFT a quote. I'm going to tell him who said the quote. He's going to tell me if it's real or fake. We were going to just do all J.J. Watt. We'd run out of that eventually. But today is J.J. Watt. So J.J. Watt on his Facebook page last night said, "Spent last night watching old Peyton Manning highlights. Put into perspective how blessed we are to play this game. It's not the money. It's not the fame. It's the passion for the game. Thank you, Sheriff."
God damn. Okay, that is – all right, here's my take on that. That is so obviously a J.J. Watt quote that I think that it might be an engineered J.J. Watt quote. It's like the – I think that you made it up, but you did a really good job making it up. So I'm going to make my final guess. I'm going to say that is a made-up J.J. Watt quote.
It is a made-up J.J. Watt quote. He did thank the sheriff on Twitter, so that was nice of him. I obviously have to get better at making my J.J. Watt quotes more.
You got to tone it down. No,
actually don't think that was that crazy for a J.J. Watt quote. I thought it was because what I did was I went and I picked pieces of – so every single thing I said is something he's said.
So it is a J.J. Watt quote.
It's not the fame. It's the passion for the game.
It's a mosaic of J.J. Watt quotes balled up into one perfect one. So I'd say I'm an honest guy. I would say I got that wrong and you got it right.
Okay, perfect. 1-0, Big Cat. That's the show for today. We will see you on Wednesday. Hope you enjoyed it. Follow us on Twitter. Pardon my take. Unsubscribe yourself on iTunes and then resubscribe so we can climb back up the rankings. We'd appreciate that. Leave a review and follow Pardon My Take on Instagram, which I guess doesn't exist. that makes it more fun.